the suits, here come the suits, here come the suits. M&A, Hembio's debt and sub-debt. Hold the phone, the kid's gone corporate. 3 months in, you say you need a vacation. Listen, son, you're in the wrong vocation. This world's seductive, it can't be corruptive. It's 3 a.m. and I'm still productive. Lord over the city, from my tower, stretch out my arms and feel the power. I'm a Wall Street trader, Main Street player.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. I'm now joined by Chris Hedges, who is a journalist, author, and social critic. In 2002, he is part of a team at the New York Times that won the Pulitzer Prize for coverage of global terrorism, and he also received the Amnesty International Global Award for Human Rights. His books include War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning, What Every Person Should Know About War, American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America, and Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle. He is a regular columnist at truthdig.com, where he recently published an article called The Collapse of Globalization. Welcome to Background Briefing, Chris Hedges.
Thank you.
Just a couple of days ago, I spoke with the country's leading expert on taxes, David K. Johnston. And talking about taxes is very useful insight into a society's economic and social justice. And we talked about both the two big hoaxes, the deficit hoax, where at a time of a recession when you're supposed to stimulate the economy, the deficit hawks have won the day in terms of the argument that we now have to tighten our belts, or everybody but the rich have to tighten their belts. But the other big hoax is the globalism hoax. But you say it's over.
It is over. What we're watching now is the breakdown of globalization. We are clinging to dead ideas that have been utterly discredited. You know, for years, all we heard was that there could be no debt relief to the third world because debt payments were sacrosanct. And after about 2 weeks in 2006, with the collapse of the global economy, the very forces that had opposed any kind of debt relief bailed themselves out. Now to the tune of trillions of dollars, after evaporating $40 trillion worth of wages, income, savings, mostly, of course, from small shareholders. We're watching a very steep rise and very frightening rise in commodity prices, especially in staples such as wheat, that in the last 8 months has doubled in price. When you are attempting to feed yourself on about $2 a day, is over half the population of the globe is. These kinds of food increases mean malnutrition and even starvation. And I think we have to look closely at what's happening in countries like Yemen. Huge water shortages, by the way, in Yemen, Egypt, Tunisia, Ivory Coast. And realize that what we're seeing is the unraveling of this system. And we have to begin to speak in a new language and come up with new ideas. But unfortunately, the corporate forces that control the debate and that have seized dominance over our monetary system, our food, energy, education, press, healthcare, governance, have determined that we will sort of barrel forwards towards collapse. And of course, in the short term, it's quite beneficial to them. In the long term, it's catastrophic to everyone.
So the question is, Chris Hedges, why did we believe this in the first place, this race to the bottom globalization hoax, which has only benefited the financial elite on Wall Street and Chinese peasants?
Well, it was quite consciously promoted by corporations. They took fringe figures like Milton Friedman and Friedrich von Hayek, who are probably two of the most important architects for unregulated capitalism. Economists that certainly when they began were not considered serious thinkers by most people, and through the wonders of corporate propaganda and corporate funding, the theories of these fringe figures became embraced by think tanks, the press, corporate boardrooms, universities, legislative bodies, courts, and we still hear this cant about getting government off our backs, even though, of course, their economic theories have been utterly discredited. The problem is that anybody who talks in another paradigm, anybody who challenges the assumptions and structures of globalism, are shut out. And one thinks of Noam Chomsky or Ralph Nader as a long list. You know, John Ralston Saul, a writer I admire very much, is sort of laid it out that every single one of globalism's promises have turned out to be a lie. Economic inequity, around the globe has gotten worse. The world's wealth has become concentrated into the hands of a tiny elite. The middle class, which is, of course, the heart of any capitalist democracy, is disappearing. The rights and wages of the working class have fallen into precipitous decline as we have destroyed labor regulations, our manufacturing base, and, of course, labor unions themselves. And we have watched as, in the name of free trade and a worldwide economy, as Thomas Friedman said, you know, this sort of jingoistic, the world is flat kind of mentality. Corporations have used the destruction of trade barriers as a mechanism for massive tax evasion, and that technique allows huge corporations, conglomerates like General Electric, not to pay any taxes at all. Or Halliburton, which is a completely parasitic corporation. It makes all of its money, or almost all its money, from taxpayers, and yet it sets up all its subsidiaries in Dubai, so it doesn't have to pay taxes.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Chris Hedges, whose article, The Collapse of Globalism, is out on truthdig.com. You mentioned in your article the proponents of globalism, Thomas Friedman, Daniel Yergin, Ben Bernanke, and Anthony Giddens. I have to add here that Daniel Yergin's monitor group has now been exposed for having taken money from Gaddafi. But the other person who I think has to be high up on that list is one of the great hoaxes of all time, and that is Alan Greenspan, who you point out believed in a third-rate novelist. He didn't only believe in her, he was the executor of her estate, Ayn Rand. He believed that Ayn Rand was an economic prophet. How did that guy become our economic prophet?
Because corporations wanted him to be our economic prophet. When you look at the intellectual absurdities that these people embraced, it's frightening. And then, of course, you get that mea culpa from Greenspan, where he concedes that not only did he have no idea that this was coming, but that he admits that he was naive, that somehow the market could regulate itself. What's amazing is that after all of these ideas have been discredited, they're still being peddled within the mainstream because, of course, corporations control most of our systems of information. And anybody who is going to point out that all of globalism's promises are, utopian and absurd, it doesn't get a voice, even now. And that's what's truly frightening, because we are watching essentially the cannibalization of the state, and in particular the U.S. Treasury, to service a dead system, to reinflate an economic bubble, and not to confront the criminal behavior on behalf of the financial elite. It is really staggering. The size of the theft and fraud is staggering, and the utter inability on the part of systems of governance to curb that fraud, and not only curb it, but of course what they've actually done is re-empower it.
Again, I'm speaking with Chris Hedges, who wrote a new article at truthdig.com, The Collapse of Globalization. In this article, you'd say dying civilizations often prefer hope, even absurd hope, to the truth. And that would seem to me that what is happening here in our media, in our corporate media, in terms of entertainment, is particularly subversive. I'll just quote from your article. The perversion of values has created a landscape where corporate management by sleazy figures like Donald Trump is confused with leadership, and where the ability to accumulate vast sums of money is confused with intelligence. And when we do glimpse the poor or working class on our screens, they're ridiculed and taunted. They are objects of contempt, whether on the Jerry Springer Show or Jersey Shore. But I would add to that, Chris Hedges, that we have these new shows, reality shows now, the Undercover Boss and Secret Millionaire, that seemed entirely designed to encourage this lottery mentality amongst American in the working class, that and also to make the bosses human beings just like you. They're just regular folk, regardless of the fact that they're making 1,000 times more money than the poor working stiff who is being conned into believing that somehow one day he can win the lottery.
Yes, and that, you know, we are a culture utterly awash in lies. These public relations, the public relations industry is very effective and has been for many decades at manipulating emotion, making us confuse how we are made to feel with knowledge. And they have done a tremendous job of discrediting working men and women. Look what's happening to teachers and public sector unions at the moment, and trumpeting these sort of gruesome figures like Donald Trump. And as you read from the story, confusing this capacity for manipulation, to make money, with qualities of leadership or with intelligence, and the sort of belittling of our poor culturally is part and parcel of precisely creating this paradigm where the elite is lionized and venerated, and our disenfranchised working class become, at least through the systems of propaganda, the butt of jokes, of ridicule.
But do you think there's any way, though, that we can prick this bubble of a capitalist delusion that we have here in American capitalism, which is all about the elite extracting wealth, not creating wealth? And this whole Horatio Alger meritocracy myth is completely fictional, because if, as you point out in the article, what's been happening now is that speculators are gaming the price of food and the price of oil. Now, I had the former head of the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission on the other day, who laid out an extremely cogent and evidence-laden case that the price of oil has nothing to do with Libya and all these other things. It's entirely to do with Wall Street people betting that oil will go up, and in making that, placing $40 billion on a bet, sure enough, it does go up, and they make money, and every person in this country who shows up at the pump to fill up their gas tank is being gouged, and somehow they just take it.
Well, they take it for a while. I mean, it's not a sustainable system. It's one that's tearing itself apart, and as that gap opens up, when the day comes, and already seeing it in some states, like Michigan, that unemployment benefits are not extended. There was a front page story in the New York Times on the whole program that the Obama administration had set up to help unemployed people pay their mortgages. They haven't paid a dime because the banks don't want them to pay a dime. There is no stopping at this point. The rapaciousness of the corporate state, we've undergone a coup d'etat in slow motion, and it's over. We've lost. They've won. They know no limits. So people will wake up, but by the time they wake up, they will have been deeply impoverished. Certainly the bottom two-thirds that are now constitute America's underclass, and we will see Homeland Security in forms of draconian control. Take a look at what they're doing to Bradley Manning, used more nakedly on the part of the corporate behemoth, in order to reconfigure American society into this terrifying form of neo-feudalism.
Well, of course, the ultimate irony is that the people who have done more to change the political and economic and social landscape to our detriment have been the Supreme Court, and particularly the Citizens United decision, which is probably the most radical decision ever in hundreds of years of the Supreme Court, allowing corporations unlimited money to buy a political system that they already owned, but to buy it lock, stock, and barrel now. These same originalists, of course, obviously haven't read the Declaration of Independence, because after the main preamble about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it goes on to say that if a government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to overturn it and replace it with a government more to their liking or choosing. I'm paraphrasing here, but the long and the short of it is...
Remember, Mother Jones got arrested for reading that.
Right, but
passage to coal miners in West Virginia.
Yeah, but I'm bringing it up, Chris Hedges, because I think that the genius of America is that the revolutionary mechanism is built into the Constitution, and if the people finally wake up, they can change this toxic and predatory government and live out the American dream.
Well, I think the problem is that the corporate state has now cemented into place mechanisms of control in terms of the surveillance and security state that are utterly terrifying, and that will make it, and you go back and look at the church hearings in 1975 when church was appalled at the technological capacity that the intelligence community had handed to the state, will make it very, very difficult for dissent. These people, you know, are going to go down not like Mubarak, but like Gaddafi.
So, just in closing, then, Chris Hedges, I hesitate to relegate our fate to utter hopelessness. What is your sense of how this can be reversed?
Well, I think with the collapse of globalization, which is what's happening, and of course, we haven't even brought up the whole issue of climate change. People are going to have to begin to take care of themselves, which means creating sustainable communities, because as food prices skyrocket, as fuel prices skyrocket, as this permanent underclass begins to suffer, as state and federal programs are cut, we are already watching, of course, inflation through and rising commodity prices, which makes food more difficult. About 40 million Americans now spend about 35% of their income on food. That's only going to go up. We're going to have to take care of ourselves. So sustainable agriculture becomes huge, because the elite, as they already are doing, are retreating into gated communities. And Naomi Klein has written about this, where they wall themselves off from the misery that is inflicted on the masses. And I think that we have to recognize that the state is not going to take care of us. These corporate forces are not going to protect us. We're going to have to do it ourselves, and I think that becomes a form of resistance. I'm all for rebellion, and I'm all for resistance and defying the corporate state. Yet at the same time, I think we have to be very realistic about the power that the state has accrued to itself, especially in terms of internal security. It's as anyone who's gone to the G20 protests, as I have, can tell you.
Well, Chris Hedges, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Chris Hedges, who is the author of What Every Person Should Know About War, American Fascists, the Christian Right and the War on America, and Empire of Illusion, the End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle. You can find his article, The Collapse of Globalization, at truthdig.com. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank my producers, Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. Our theme music is by Los Lobos. You may hear this program, sign up for podcasts, and contact me at ianmasters.com. I've also started a daily blog there. Go to ianmasters.com and click on blog and let me know what you think. I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.